Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your host, Elohim. Welcome to Elohim Speaks. welcome back to another live broadcast from Elohim Speaks. We have a very good topic today. First, we'll do an assertion, and then we'll get into the show. I thought they weren't going to let me on today, but everything seemed to click in. It took a few minutes to get on, but I'm here. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reaping what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of your light, and I will get what I want. Okay. Normally, we talk about love for about 5 minutes. We're going to dispense with the anthem today. It took me a couple of minutes to get on here. It's getting worse and worse, but we're getting there. what we're talking about today is very interesting. Next, we'll be going to Bible. We're talking about the code book, a religious book, but we're talking about a society and hold on for a second. We're talking about the colonists were saved by the society, and how exactly did that work? Just setting up a structure or setting up a government, you need certain key points to actually bring you into power when you're dealing with that particular instrument, you know. So when President Hansen and them set up the first society, they had something very interesting in mind. The first thing that they had to do once they set it up was create the military, which is what they did. They created a pretty good military using the children and, those that were over 19 or 20. They was enlisted almost everybody into the military. That's how they set up the military at first, because they have to have boots on the ground if you're going to have a society. You need some type of security, you know. And security comes from the people that you trust the most, which is family and friends. And this brings us to the children, and that's how most military began. It begins with the children or the young adults who have the desire to help and protect the family, you know. So basically what we need to do is begin to formulate some type of security situation so that we can help ourselves and help do things, help get a society set up and running. Now, why is it so important to have a society, you know? What's the purpose of a society? Well, you have to have rules in which to govern yourselves by. And then back then, when they first set up the Continental Congress, that's what they set up as a society, the rules that they used was the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And quiet as it's kept, George Washington and the crew, they did not write the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. They stole it, put their name on it, and kept moving, you know. I mean, when you think about the thought process based on the Constitution, it wasn't even, it didn't even fit their thought process. You know, here you got a slave owner with black slaves in the basement, white indentured slaves upstairs on the second floor. Why would they put something in there, all men are created equal? That's not even their thought process. They didn't even think like that, you know. But when the Constitution was set up by President Hansen and them, you can deal with their thought process coming from the Moors and some of the other groups that was with them, you know. And you're dealing with some of the white colonists coming from Britain. It makes more sense, you know, than to deal with those thieves, the crooks, that actually took over the government, you know. It made more sense. But even if you have an instrument like a constitution, rules on which to govern a society by, you have to have something that's very, very important to make a society work. We're talking about wisdom. You know, you need some type of wise counsel in order to make the society work. That's why they use the Bible. Hello? That's why they reverence the book so much. Without it, the society wouldn't have functioned. It wouldn't have been able to do what it did. And if you notice, all groups, all societies have some type of religious format in order to keep the society doing what it's supposed to do. Now, the Bible is a very powerful instrument because that's something that comes from the comedic structure, you know, coming through Ma'at and all that wisdom that was put in there. But it was put in there as a code. It wasn't put in there as in such a way that anybody couldn't just pick the book up and just use it, you know. You could use it, but it will be able to build a society, build a powerful society, just using it as a religious book. You have to know how to deal with it as a code book in order to do that, you know. Now, the first thing they had to do was separate the two cultures, you know. You have the dog-eat-dog culture, and you have the read-what-you-sow culture. Well, how did they separate the cultures without letting the actual layman know what was going on? You know, they call it church and state. You see, church and state are separate. See, the church is the read what you sow culture, and the church is the dog, and the state is the doggy dog culture. So you have to keep them two separate, so that the doggy dog culture wouldn't become the doggy dog culture, because you have to have some type of compassion, some type of the word compassion is enough. You have to have some type of compassion in order for society to work, and this is where the Bible came in at. You know, they brought about the compassion, the love, and the goodness from a people, so that other people wouldn't mind being part of what you're doing, you know. When it becomes strictly dog-eat-dog, it gets a little crazy. When you think of Hitler and his society, that was a strict dog-eat-dog society. Took what they want, vilified people. In fact, the destruction and evil was so rampant, you know, that they forced a lot of people in line to do what they had to do, like this, like George Washington was doing when they first set up. But you have to remember that even though George Washington stole the society, they were so evil. I'm telling you, they were so evil that it was very difficult for the society to flourish. Under them, they went to war with Britain, and they hooked up with the French, with Napoleon, and they fought for 33 years, and they lost. If you Google who owns the United States and the Americas, it will tell you that Britain owns the United States and Americas. So the Queen Britain, she's been running colonies all over the planet, so they kind of knew what they had to do. So they made sure that the religious component in the society was real strong, you know, and that certain love and compassion was beginning to come through. But after the Civil War, if you remember, after the Civil War, when the doggy dog culture, without the slave owners, when the doggy dog culture lost, they lost the war, but they won the peace. It's kind of interesting, because when you think of peace, you think of kumbaya, everybody getting along. That's not what peace means. Peace is an act of war against war. It's a war of attrition. That's what peace means. That's why when they make the peace treaties up, they go into what they call an arms buildup, because each group want to make sure that the other group don't build up their military so powerful that they are able to come and just take them over. This was the problem with the indigenous people here when they first went to war against the Europeans when they came, you know, when they when they set their little forts up, and after George Washington and the crew got their butt kicked, and then they were fighting to take over the indigenous people. They made peace treaties with the indigenous people here. But the peace treaties, when they made peace, they were thinking in terms, the Indians or the indigenous people that were here were thinking in terms of, well, everything's going to be all right now. They're not going to fight us no more. We're okay. We can live our natural lives where we like living, you know. Everything's going to be kumbaya. But that's not what peace meant, okay? Peace is a war of attrition. So they start bringing people from all over the world, you know. They start bringing people from everywhere. They got their military built up. They start getting weapons and building up their arsenals. And once they got to a point of power, they began to make up any kind of little excuse that they could and attacked the indigenous people here and began taking the land from them, because the indigenous people didn't build up their military because they thought they were okay, but they didn't know what peace meant. If you study the World War One and World War Two, when they signed those little treaties, they put stipulations in there so that the group that lost were not able to build their military up without them going back to war. Hitler's the most memorable because that the when they set up the treaty with Hitler, I mean with Germany, Germany was not supposed to have so much military and so many planes and all that. Once Hitler came to power, he began a military buildup, you know. So and that actually broke the peace. But the World War One was so devastating, you know. For them, they really didn't want to go back to war again. So that's how Hitler was able to get over. But it got to a point where they said, well, enough is enough. Okay, this guy got one thing on his mind: world domination, world conquest. So so they united and they fought against the against Germany. But we have to understand what peace means. Now, we're at the indigenous people are supposed to be at peace with the federal government now, but they're not really, the federal government's not really at peace with the indigenous people. They have conquered them and really put them on the side where they don't have no real control over what's going on. That's why the federal government can sign something like Trump. He just signed the thing when he was fighting against the pipelines going through the indigenous territory. Obama stopped it. Trump came along, signed a piece of paper, and they started again, you know. So they don't really have control. So they're really a conquered, they're really conquered people. That's what's going on, you know. So this, without a proper society, you can't build what you need to build to protect and defend yourself. You know, we run around talking about freedom. We want freedom. But what does freedom mean? Freedom means control, you know. Now stop for a minute. Go see who on the line. Ask yourself, what do you have control over in this society? You know? Not much. We don't have control over much, you know. And you're supposed to be able to control every aspect of the society, basically, which is food, clothing, shelter, security. Your children are the tree of life. So your children are supposed to be producing the things that the society is going to need to sustain itself. Now you have to ask yourself again, what are my children producing for the tribe? Okay, I use tribe instead of family because the family is the economic structure that you need, that you use to take care of your tribe. When you get married and start having children, you're starting a new tribe, you know what I'm saying? And that tribe is connected to a diaspora, which is your mother, your cousin, your aunts, your uncles, your nephews, all the way down the line. And if you really do a genealogy genealogy study, you'll find that most of the people here are connected somewhere down the line as cousins or something. You know, even they found that Obama was connected, was cousin to Bush and them, you know. And so this is why the tribal mindset is very important, because this is where your this is part of the economic structure that you need to develop. Your tribal diaspora is very important. This is when we get into the holidays, you know. If you're dealing with holidays from a religious point of view, certain holidays you won't participate in. But the 1%, they participate in every holiday because it gives them time to organize the family, deal with the children and things like that there, to make sure, see who's got what, who needs what to keep this thing going, you know. If your tribe, let's say your diaspora is like 700, 800, 900 people, you know, and you know you have if you have a family product, well, you have a guaranteed 800, 900 people that's going to use your product all the time, you know, and then that expands into other tribes, other groups, and before you know it, your family or your tribe, your family becomes powerful. The economic structure becomes power, you know. You have Mrs. Smith Pies and the names of the families, you know, they become brand names, like the DuPonts, you know, that's the family, you know. How many DuPonts are there, you know, and how do the DuPonts organize? How do they get themselves together? They organize through the holidays, okay? So we have to get out of this, we have to get out of this religious mindset that they have put us in. If we're going to survive, we're talking about a society. Now, what's so important about this society? How did they become so powerful? The 1%ers, they know how to read the Bible. I don't care what hotel you're going to, they reverend the book, because without this book, without the Bible, the code book, they would not have been able to do what they have done, okay? Every week I talk about just a few points that's in the book. But there's so much in the book as a code book, it will literally blow your mind, you know. Once you start seeing it as a code book and not a religious book, it will keep you healthy, tell you what to eat. It will keep you from being broke, tell you how to save your money. It will keep you as a group, how to set up a banking situation as a group, so that you'll have money to build houses and roads, and you can buy jeeps and tanks or whatever you need to buy to support yourself when you set your security up. I mean, everything is in there, you know, that you need to become powerful as a society. Now, the problem that we have been having so far, before I go any further, I want to thank everybody that's on the live. And those of you who if you have a comment or something you want to say, or you want to give a shout out, whatever, just press 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you have a comment, that you have something to say, or if you have a question or whatever, and I'll open up your mic and you can make a comment or whatever you have to say, okay? Now, we have been under leadership-based societies, okay? Forever, for as long as we can remember, this is how we've been under them, you know. And we can't seem to get the power that we need. Now, why do we have the right to vote in this society? You know, how can we complain and picket and all that stuff to get the right to vote? What instrument that they're using that gives us the right to vote? We're talking about the Constitution. The Constitution is a trust instrument, okay? And this is why, and the people that you vote for, like the senators and congressmen and all those are trust managers, okay? Those people, you vote for them to manage your trust, which is the country, basically, which is the country. Okay, now let's go through just a couple of points that we need to think about as we live in this society. okay? You're all trustees of this society, okay? And the trustees pay for everything. This is where your tax. You pay for everything through your taxes, okay? And you appoint certain people to manage the tax money that you're sending in so that you can have the infrastructure and your military and all that stuff. This is what you're doing. Now, Trump, okay, the man was out of his mind. He's one of the worst leaders that we've had, okay? So what did we do? Through the vote, we fired him. See, this society is yours to run. You have to run this society, so you have to get into the mindset that this is not their country. This is my country, and I'm going to run this country if I have the power to run this country. So if I'm going to run this country, I need to step up and begin to study how to do that. Remember the people that used to picket in reference to the hospitals and all that stuff because they wanted the, what was it? They were talking about the birth rights and Roe versus Wade and all of these pickets out in front of the clinics and stuff. They're not doing that no more. How come you don't hear nothing about them picketing? Because they realize it really don't work. The real power is in the Senate, Congress, your mayors, your districts, your aldermen. That's where the real power is at. So they stopped picketing and went in to vote to get their people in, to get their judges in. So when something happened, their judges would come out for them to do whatever they had to do so that their will can be done, you know. Now, if you want your will to be done in this society, okay, you have to step up and you have to begin to run a society. So, you know, this is how important a society is. So the society is set up so that you can literally run the society through the vote, okay? Each person gets one vote. That's how the society functions. Now, this is a leadership-based society, meaning that you're constantly under dictatorship no matter what you do. You know, you have a boss, you have a manager, you have a CEO, you have a president, you have a vice president, all your companies, and you know, the police department, the fire department, the hospitals, everything is set up that way, you know? And so now, how do we gain power, you know, with a society set up like this? We have a hand up, so let me bring them in now before I switch to another topic here. 8829, you're on the air, you have a comment?
Hey, Brother Elohim, how you doing? This is Sun 752.
Hey, how you
What's
doing?
What's going
there,
on? I'm feeling like a real man should, as you can imagine.
Well, that's good. Good to hear you, brother. I'm glad you chimed in. Your show yesterday was pretty powerful. I enjoyed it, you know. And
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a comment.
I wanted to come. Yeah. I wanted to comment on what you were talking about as far as the power of the vote, and the power of the vote in terms of it being the power of the people. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think is more powerful, money or the vote? Or is the vote a form of money?
Well, actually, they kind of go hand in hand because money influences the vote. The vote is a real power, but without the money, it's kind of hard to influence how people vote because people know which side their bread is buttered. You know what I mean? And if you're in a position where you control them, what they're eating, their jobs, and all that, well, that's gonna do that power through the power of money. That will push that vote in your direction. You know what I mean? But the vote is really the power. But the money is the influence. With money is what they use to influence the vote. In the Bible, that's how they crucified Jesus. Because they paid the people to tell them to crucify Jesus instead of Barabbas. So the people had a vote, but through the power of the money, they influenced the vote. So, so yeah, the vote is a power. The vote is more powerful than the money. But when you're hungry,
you think that you believe that the vote is more powerful than the money?
Yes, it is.
That's interesting.
Because the vote will tend to lead you toward the money if you use your vote properly. You know, just like right now, we're trying to get a stimulus package in. You know, but because they voted for that Mitch McConnell again, if I understand, and he's holding up the money. But they'd have voted somebody else in, that money would have been here by now. You know, people would have had the money. But the so the power is in the vote. They kind of like go hand in hand almost. You know what I mean? Because that influence is kind of important. You know, money is very influential. I could say it like that because if you need something and well, basically they use the money to buy the vote. You can buy people's votes. And that's what's been going on forever. They've been buying the votes.
That's why I was asking. What do you think is more powerful, the money or the vote? Because as far as I'm concerned, everything in politics revolves around money. And to me, well, I mean, I'm not even going to say to me. From what I've studied, it has nothing. Politics and governments have absolutely nothing to do with the people. You know, that's why the people are always feeling powerless, and that's why the vote is the only tool that is given to those who don't have the money. But when you think about it, when you start talking about the endorsements that candidates get and things like that, they always seem to value that over the vote, because you get the money first to even be in position to be able to get any vote. You know, it's no coincidence that it's usually the candidate who generates the most revenue while they're running for office that normally wins that office. So as we can see with the Electoral College and the attempt by Trump and his supporters to try to overturn the election, we can see how the vote can easily be nullified and become irrelevant. But, you know, when palms start getting greased, or when power is in jeopardy of being lost, and the power is in the money. So, you know, then you see how things start, other possibilities start to open up. No laws are created that don't have a money value on them. There are no bills, there are no laws that are created on the books that don't have a monetary value assessed to it. And that's whether you're talking about murder, whether you're talking about theft, whether you're talking about a parking ticket, whether you're talking about a jaywalking ticket, whether you're talking about any law has a monetary value on it. So you start seeing that whenever you don't want to follow the rules, you're going to have to pay a monetary cost. Even if you go to prison, that has a cost to it too, and it has to be paid. You know, and that's why they say that you have to pay your debt to society. We think that they're talking metaphorically, like you have to do your time, but that's not what they're actually saying. Because of the privatizations of prisons and the way that the prison system is set up, even with the state, you actually make money by going to prison. You make the state money or some entity money by being locked up more than you do by being out here free. So you know, when we start talking about politics, we start talking about money, and we start talking about the vote. You know, and I don't think that it's heading that way because the thought that I'm trying to finish is that if they overturn the election, they know that nobody would ever believe in the vote again. if that's going to be detrimental to the bottom line of every politician that ever runs for office again, because so many people would never ever vote again because they know for a fact that their vote has absolutely no power. It has power as long as it's never challenged. But once it gets challenged, you see all of these other, you see the way that it's really set up that they don't teach you until it becomes necessary to even uncover all of this stuff. Who knew? Who knew the way, the depth of the way that the electoral college worked? I certainly didn't know. And I've taken classes about this stuff, studied deeply and things like that. But I never knew that this thing was possible. But it becomes possible when somebody doesn't like the way that it's set up and they find out how to create a loophole, just like English common law. So, you know, just like the legal system isn't set up so whenever you do a crime, you automatically go to jail or are convicted. It can be manipulated. That you can find loopholes as long as you understand the way that the system works. And it only becomes relevant when someone is paying for it. So just like Trump was paying those lawyers to uncover these truths, it's been there the whole time. But if nobody's paying for it, nobody says anything, and things just go the way that, you know, the way that it normally goes, unchallenged, uncontested, because it's not necessary unless someone says no. I know that it can work this way, and I'm willing to pay somebody to make it work that way, or at least bring it to the forefront.
Well, at one time, this was what they don't want people to find out, that this is actually not a republic anymore. Woodrow Wilson took it off the republic and turned it actually into a democracy. So they can shut down the Electoral College if they want to. But they haven't done that just in case there's some type of coup or something that takes place and that they can activate the Electoral College and take the country back. But the vote is the power. Now, just because people are buying your vote, that's what they're paying for. They're paying for the vote. And that's what the money is all about. The money is the influence or to buy your vote. If your vote wasn't the power, they wouldn't pay for it. So the vote is the power, but the money is the influence behind power, you know. And money have always been the influence behind power. This is why we have so much trouble with our groups and the leaderships that we have, because they're buying our leaders. And once they buy the leaders send the people in a certain direction. This is why we can't get anything done, and mostly because we're set up as a leadership society. So my proposal is to set up a society without the leadership, so that the people have direct control over everything. And this way we'll be able to offset a lot of the problems that we're having if money is used to buy your power. So it takes money in this society to purchase the power, and what they're buying is your vote. So the vote is actually the power. The money is the influence. We say influence behind the throne. So if the people's will is strong enough, it doesn't matter how much money the other candidate has to influence the vote. They're going to kick this guy out no matter what. Now, no matter how much money the Republicans had to influence the vote, Trump is gone. Because the power went in the other direction, because the people were sick of this guy, you know? So we fired this guy through the vote. But you're right about the money. Money is a strong influence. Now, the Pope don't have power, but the Pope has strong influence because the Pope got so much money. So this is why the Catholicism is still around, even though everything that's been going on inside the Catholic Church, they're still here, still going strong, because of the influence that the Pope has through the dollar, through that money, you know. But make no mistake about it, the will of the people, that's the power. People are the power of everything, you know. Without the people, these one percenters, they wouldn't survive without the people, because they need the influence. They need to control the people in order to keep them those yachts and those big castles and stuff that they're living in. They need to control the people. And so we're still under the slavery system, but it's economic slavery that they're using right now. Money, they use money to control the population. And based on what side your butt is breaded on, that's who you're going to vote for. You're going to vote for wherever the money's coming in. And my proposal as a society, see, now we're setting up a society now to bring about a change, because we need a society that does not depend on leadership to make it run. We need a society where the people directly have control, which is what we've set up, or we've set up already, okay? And this is why I'm speaking today about society. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking more about society. We have a conference with society members tomorrow, Monday at 6 o'clock. So this is why I went into this particular dialogue tonight, for those who are on the line, so that they can have a clearer understanding that we're set up in a trust, and this society is set up as an express trust, as a business trust. You know, and you are a trustee of this society. So I'm saying, this is why you have the right to vote. As a United States citizen, you become a trustee of the government. And it's your job to literally run the government. And most of the people don't know that. And just like most people don't know that, Woodrow Wilson took us off the republic. Because I said, well, this is a republic, not a democracy. But when I did the research, Woodrow Wilson took us off the republic and actually made this a democracy. And this is why, once they go against the will of the people, okay, they're violating the Constitution. And if they do that, they will definitely shut the Electoral College down. And this is what they're afraid of. They don't want to shut the Electoral College down, because it gives them some type of control, some type of power over the masses through the electoral people that bring those particular votes to the floor. I think they're going to do it tomorrow, that brings that particular vote to the floor. So they don't want the people to really wake up to see what's going on, you know, and that's why they're so afraid of the people waking up. In fact, they don't even tell the public that this is a trust. See what I'm saying? So that you can set up trust for your homes and for your family and for everything else. They use trust all the time. So when you set up a business trust, some call it an unincorporated corporation, but when you set up a business trust, you don't have to pay taxes. You see, that's why Trump ain't paying no taxes. You know, they're not going to lock him up for not paying no taxes. If he was legally and it's right not to pay it, because they set up trust and trust funds for the children so that their wealth can be transferred from family to family to family to family without paying all the taxes or with the money transfer. So they don't want the people to wake up to what's really going on. But make no mistake about it, the money buys power, and the money is buying the vote. So the vote is the power. If the vote wasn't the power, they wouldn't spend their money to get it. You know what I mean? So that's what's going on right now. So we need a society, which is one we have set up. It's called Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. We have a society set up where it's a non-leadership based society. We have a constitution, we have the indenture agreements, and everything is set up, you know. And because if we keep doing things the same way over and over, expecting different results, that's what they say is a mark of a crazy person, you know. So something has to change. They set up, our ancestors, President Hansen and them, set up a society to organize the colonists and everything so that they can build a structure that were able to protect the indigenous people of the country. And so we can do the same thing now to protect ourselves, you know. So once we get a society set up and people begin to join the society and we get the right numbers in the society, then we'll have a solid voting block. If you have thousands of people voting a specific way, you can overturn elections and you can put what you want in office, put your own governors, your own senators, your own congressional people in office. And that will make a whole difference in what we're doing. I've never picketed, not once. When I came back from Vietnam, they was out there picketing it. I didn't go out there. I had nobody throwing stuff at me, and I'm not fighting back. I don't think so. I realized even back then that the picketing actually don't work. They give you one thing, and they take something else from you. So you never really gain. Just like we're constantly fighting for more wages, but every time they raise the minimum wage, they raise the food costs and what it costs to do things. So you really don't get you're really not getting any more money. You know what I mean? Seems like more money in your pocket to you, but bananas used to cost 20 cents a pound, now they cost 70 cents a pound. So they take it right back from you, and this is what they do. Every time they give you something, they take something, you know? So what we need to do is change our thought process, start thinking a little different. And the reason why I always bring the Bible up, because the Bible is the code that they use to keep to make the society powerful. Without the code or the Bible, this country would not be as powerful as it is right now, you know? They know where to get the military from. They know to draft the children. When I was in Vietnam, it was just y'all kids out there, man, just children, 19, 20, 22, and 23. That's who was fighting the war. When I was over there, I didn't see too many old people out there running around with no rifles and stuff. It was the children. So right away, when you have a society that you're in control over, that you're calling the shots, that your vote is the only thing that matters. And we're not voting for people to do things. We're voting for what we want and how we want to get it done. And that's what makes everything work, you know. I totally missed a commercial today. It's only got 10 minutes left, so we're not going to have the commercial today. A lot of people tune in on half an hour just to hear a commercial so they can let me know if they want to change this or change that. I apologize for not running a commercial. But, you know, time goes by pretty fast when you're having fun. And they have, you know, and right now I'm getting pushback from the government right now because what I'm talking about, what I'm telling people, people don't know, and they don't want people to know this. They don't want you to know that George Washington didn't make the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, that they were seized. They want the actual founding fathers of the country. They don't want you to know this stuff. They don't want you to know that this country is set up as a trust, as an express trust. That's how this country is set up. That's why all of them have to take an oath to follow the Constitution, okay? Because the Constitution is the trust instrument. All right, that they go by to run the country. Now, if they don't follow the Constitution, they're in violation of the trust, okay? And this is why you can bring them to court if they're violating the Constitution. So this whole thing is a trust, and you are trustees of this trust to run the country. That's your job. You're supposed to be running the country. It's not. When you say government, you're literally talking about people that you voted to put in office to manage things for you. That's what you've done. So they don't want the people to wake up to really see what's going on, that this country belongs to the actual people. And if the will of the people decide on a certain thing, that's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter how much money they throw at you. You follow what I'm saying? Just like with the abortions and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter how much money you're throwing at the people that's fighting for the right to life for the babies. You follow what I'm saying? You can give them all the money you want. They ain't changing their mind. Then you can't buy their opinion. You can't buy their vote in that particular instance, you know? So they have to literally try to control the will of the people. And so they're targeting people through the ads, through everything that they're doing. They're using money to influence the minds of the people so that they can get what they want, you know. And the whole thing is pretty interesting, you know. This is why we're dealing with the, I was focused mostly on the topic of Bible code book or religious book once we got into the society so that the people can understand that the power of this society is the people, but the wisdom of the society is the codes that's in the Bible. That's how they were able to do and build what they have so quickly and so powerfully, because they took your ancestors' book, right? We're talking about the 1%. Well, I shouldn't say you're, because 1% coming out of colors. But they took that book, got those codes down, and they began to introduce those codes into the society, because we didn't always have a centralized banking system. Okay, Britain has a centralized banking system because they use the they come through the book first, because the Moors and Ireland and all those countries used to run Britain before Britain got free. It took Britain 800 years. 800 years it took Britain to get out from under black rule. Most people don't even know that black people ruled Britain for 800 years. You know, we're talking about the Moors. So there's a lot of things that we have to deal with, a lot of things that we have to learn. We have to wake up and really see what's going on. If anybody comes to me and say, well, I don't vote, I'm saying, well, what other power do you have? If you don't vote, you don't have enough money to pay an assassin to go knock somebody. Like for Trump, for instance, if you don't vote and Trump is screwing up the country, how are you going to change it? What do you have? What other power do you have to make any kind of change? You don't have no power whatsoever. Most of us don't have Oprah Winfrey's money, so we can't hire people to go in and knock this guy off, because that's the only way you can get rid of somebody if you don't have the vote. Like the guy that's running China right now, the only way you can get rid of him, they have to knock him off, because he ain't going nowhere. He's a dictator. You know what I mean? So this is what I'm saying. We have to wake up. And we have to begin to wake up as to the power that we have, what our potential is. That's what I really want to talk about today, your potential. What is your potential, you know? Based on the Bible, you're not a man and you're not a woman. You are a God. Man has a limited potential. Women have a limited potential. But God don't have, God is not limited. So your potential is unlimited. This is what we have to instill in our children. They don't have no limit to what they can do and what they can accomplish and what they can achieve. But they've given you this false mindset of what God is. Somebody sitting up there saying, kumbaya, saying being it is and everything works, you know. It doesn't, the universe don't work that way, you know. You have the power to develop so much and so many things that you need to just go ahead and get it done, you know? And that's where we're at right now. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, and I missed a commercial. Sun752, I don't know if you're still there or not, but all the people that's on the line, I want to thank you so much for calling in and hanging in there with me. I might have to change the time, because 8 o'clock is actually 9 o'clock right now, but they took the time back a little bit. And around this time, it's kind of rough for me to be on the airways this late, because I get a little groggy, and this is, you know, and it gets to be a little much. So I might have to change the time. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock when we talk, I'm going to see if changing the time, how the people feel about changing the time. If you think I should change the time, we can be a little earlier. That would be great for me, you know, like that. And it wouldn't be quite as, you know, it wouldn't be quite as bad. So we got about 3 minutes left. I just want to give a shout out. I want to thank everybody that's called in, that's on the line. I appreciate you checking in, and we have a lot to go over. We want to. Right now, we're into. I've been dealing with Genesis. People are still calling me. I've been dealing with Genesis. We'll be in Genesis as far as the Bible is concerned. And we're going to go strictly, we're going to stay in Genesis for a few more minutes because we haven't gotten to the dimensional shifting and all that that's in Genesis. Dimensional shifting, that's right. We haven't gotten to the shape-shifting people, the Draconians and all that. That's in Genesis. It's in there. You know what I mean? And we haven't actually discussed the fact that in Genesis, they made men and women, and then they came up with the Adam and Eve story. You see what I'm saying? So men and women are already made before Adam and Eve was made. You know, that's the discussion that we need to have as well, so that we'll know the difference between the two and why they were brought up like that in Genesis. You know what I mean? So, we're out of time right now, but like I say, I want to thank those that are on the line, those who comment and didn't comment. I appreciate it. I will be getting at you. We'll be here every Sunday, but look for the time to change because I might come on air a little earlier than this 8 or 9 o'clock because it's a little. I get up 4 o'clock every morning because there's so much to do, you know, and so we'll be here tomorrow at 6 o'clock, okay? Having a little conference with a society, so we'll be here tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and I'd like to for those that are on the line now, tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and we'll be talking about. We're talking more about societies because I'm going to be talking about societies a lot, so that you understand, so we can see why we need our own society in order to challenge. Because it takes a society to challenge a society, and that's where we are right now. Okay, so with that, I'm going to do my closing assertion, and I will talk to you tomorrow. I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reward yourself. All energy went out for divine. And I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. And with that, I will talk to you guys tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Much love. Ooh, they start hanging up.